Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. Welcome to Deidre's Cafe. I am Khadija Stewart, your hostess for the evening. Get your coffee, water, sparkling drink, soda, whatever it is that makes you feel good, and let's chat. Welcome to Deidre's Cafe. Once again, family, we are here to improve, to get better, to grow, to learn, and discuss some topics, right? We always have some topics that we want to talk about. So once again, as I said, I am Khadija Stewart, your hostess for this evening of Deidre's Cafe. And I want to thank Khadija 7 of A Wonderful Approach for giving us this opportunity to talk to you all. So once again, I am a business coach and a homeschool director. And these are the things that I do during the daytime. In the evening, I am building and helping to grow networks for small business owners. So that's kind of what I do. I talk a little bit about me, little pieces here and there throughout the show, but I wanted to tell you guys a little bit about what I do work-wise. So my whole goal in doing this is to take the community and give us the next step up. You know what I mean? Allow us to learn how to grow business, how to grow family, how to grow community, and to do it in such a way that we're helping each other. No man is an island. So this evening, not only with your drink, I'm drinking water tonight, guys. I'm trying to do better, cut back on my sparkling grape juice with all the sugar in it, right? If you have your drink, that's great. But this evening, you're going to also need a mirror. We have some self we're going to do tonight. Yes, we are going to self-reflect. So let's jump right in. Deidre's Cafe is for chit-chatting. So always, I want you to give me a call, 917-889-7806, and push 1 if you think that there's something that you want to join in a conversation. If I throw that question out there and I say, come on, let's talk about it, jump in. Let's talk. I promise I won't bite, right? So our quote and our affirmation for today that's going to start us off is, don't let your purpose be popularity, because your popularity will not sustain your purpose. We ended the show last month in that, and I'm going to try that one more time. Don't let your purpose be popularity, because your popularity will not sustain your purpose. What do we mean by that? Right? We have to think a little bit about that. So, you know, it's okay, especially in the age of social media when people are growing businesses through a camera, you know, through virtual. It's okay to be popular. It's really okay. It is. But if your entire reason for being a figure, and I put that in air quotes, on social media or for being a figure in the media is to be popular, be careful. Be careful. Is that the reason? That's the purpose. It's one thing to have another purpose and build up popularity to sustain that purpose, right? But it's another thing to be popular just to be popular. And you want to be careful of that, because that popularity, it's not going to sustain any purpose that you have. And if that purpose is popularity, that's exactly what we mean. But how do you use popularity to build a business of purpose? You can do that. Guys, that's the way influencers do it all the time. That's that word, influencer. And that's what it means. It means that you're using your popularity to influence the masses. So it's okay to get many likes and lots of viewers and being recognized and being liked. That's okay. It really is. It feels good to be liked and receive compliments, right? We all like the way that feels. And there are good things to enjoy. But, you know, I think it's always best to do it internally. You don't want people to see you getting all of this attention and these likes and you to be boastful about it or to be prideful about it, right? Humility. Humility goes a long way, especially when dealing with masses of people, right? We always like that person, that good guy that's humble, that's strong, that's kind, that's nice. So when you're being popular, try to be humble, right? This is where the test of humility will make you a stronger person in both business and personal. It will. because you're feeling good. You're getting all of these likes from people. People are doing for you. They're talking to you now. And everyone, you know, they want a piece of you, right? And it feels good. But in actuality, the test is in how do you handle that? How do you do that in such a way that you haven't lost your popularity? Because no one has anything negative to say about you because you did it in such a way that you kind of made people admire you and the way you responded, right? A humble response will make people reflect on your words and not your image. Remember, we want people to be left. We want to leave people with words that are impactful. An image of us is fine, and we're going to talk about that with our mirrors this evening. But the actual words that you give people, what you leave with people, oh, my gosh. I don't think you can impact anyone any more than giving them words that really, really, really touch them and reach them. And your response to popularity should develop to a level that people want to get to know you. That image behind the mirror, the person who has something to say or offer, now your popularity is marketable from a foundational level. Now you have people wanting to know exactly who are you? What do you have to offer? You know, what is it about this person that brings so much more to the table? This is making your popularity marketable in such a foundational way that it can work for you forever. We all know those actors or those politicians or those public figures that we just always have a smile about, right? They make us happy thinking about them. Or we want to always know what they're doing. Or we want to see interviews with them because we want to know what they're thinking, right? That's because they did it. They used their popularity in such a foundational way that we always want to know what they're doing. Not because they're bringing us any image, but because the words that they give in interviews, the words that they express to people in speeches, they move us. They really are impactful. Wanting to hear you speak, write, or discuss things related to your product or service that you're offering is foundational for who you are as a person, not your popularity image. That is captured on social media, quick chats, or pictures, right? But if you've redirected the popularity to purpose correctly, you've built that foundational level. You want to reflect on the word image for a moment, right? Let's talk about what does that word mean. What does it mean? I want you to get those mirrors out now. Come on, let's go. Pull a mirror out. I told you guys to get in the beginning. I'll give you a few minutes. Let's do it. Let's do some self-reflecting. And I want you to look deep into your mirror. Deeply look into there. Have you ever looked into the mirror and spoken to yourself before? Have you ever done this? I wonder. If you have, then that mirror now is the time to pull it out. Let's go. Right? You're looking in this mirror, and I want you to look deep into the mirror and look at that person. Who do you see? What image do you see staring at you? Who is that person that you're looking at? That is the person everyone else sees. Do you see that person when you imagine yourself doing things or going about your day? Is that who you really want the world to see? Right. And you have no control over how your outer look is. Okay, you can put makeup on. You can adjust some things. You can change some things, right? But can you really change who you are on the outer? But you know who you are on the inner. So that's the reason why that image, that person you're looking at right now, that's you. We know it's you. And people are getting to know you. But that image can go away because take the mirror away. It's gone now, isn't it? Right. But if you said something to someone, if you impacted them in such a way that your words, they're still thinking about it, even once the mirror is gone. So let's do that, okay? Let's learn how to take our popularity and let's build some foundational purpose with it. Let's do it in such a way that we can keep people engaged in some substantial things in who we are. As well as if you do this in business, you'll always, always, always succeed. You'll build strong customer relationships. And I promise you, your popularity will not seem like popularity anymore and will start to seem like credibility. That's the real word. That's the word you want people saying about you, especially when we're talking about your business. Give me a call. I want to talk about this image thing a little bit, right? Push one. Let me know. Talk to me. Tell me, how do you feel about looking in the mirror and seeing that person that everyone else sees, knowing that it's not really who you are? Let's talk about that. Following trends, right? Everybody reads the news or the social media, and we watch television, and we're so involved in the trends and the things that are going on. Why? Well, one, because we need to know what's going on in the world, right? Two, yeah, we're a little nosy. We have to admit it, we are. We're a little nosy, right? And then three, how else do we connect, especially during this pandemic, right, where we're kind of stuck in. We don't go as many places as we used to. We don't travel like we used to. We don't hang out with our friends, you know, side by side like we used to. So it really is the only way that we can stay connected to each other, right? But implementing public recommendations without your company-specific guides. I'm talking about businesses specifically here now. We're talking about trends. If you're looking at trends and you're implementing different trends into your business, make sure that you've looked at some specific ways to do this with your business specifically. Every trend is not applicable to every business. And I say this because, you know, I have clients that I've talked to and, oh, I should do it this way because this is what everybody is doing, or this is what is recommended, and this is what all of the leaders in the industry say to do. But there's specifics about your company that if you tweaked it just a little bit, it may have been more effective. So when we're talking about business family, I want us to understand that everything we do is specific to our company. In business, do you market or develop a product or bring to your discussion things that you hear on social media or in the news? Do you do it? Be honest. Yeah, we do. We do it. We don't want to admit it, but we do it. Are you researching, reading, and making most of your business decisions based on research through reading? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm smart, right? I'm smart at this. I'm good at this business ownership thing because, you know, I do all of my research and I'm always researching things and reading up on things. Mm-hmm. Are you mostly evaluating what products or services are best based upon the analytics from your social media pages? So now you really want up, right, because you're looking at all your analytics and you know exactly what's going on, right? If you're a business owner, family, call in and push one. I want you to jump into this discussion, right? This discussion is really about following the trends in your business. So all of those things that I just named, I may have made them seem like they weren't too good, didn't I, right? And they can be good, but they have to be implemented, once again, for your specific type of business. A broad brush of reading and researching is not good for any business. Why? Because analytics have to be evaluated specific to what those analytics are for. So if you don't know what you're doing in evaluating the analytics, I urge you to ask someone, get some help, but learn what is good and specific to your business. When you're following trends, do you do this? If you don't do all of those things, do you do this? Should you have conversations with current and old customers about what they like and least like about your products and services? Or should you research through reading to sometimes use the information found to solve a deeper problem for your target customer? You know, I call this target to target, right? Let's ask the customer just a few more questions and find out what is it that we can direct, that we can resell, that we can retarget the customer with. Those conversations, the ones that you try to avoid having with the customer because you're so busy, you just really need to service as many customers as possible to make as much money as you can, right? That's not the good way to do business. You want to build relationships with your customers. You want to find out as much as you can, as frequently as possible, who your customer actually is. As I always tell my clients, if in fact you are really doing a good job of selling your customer, then you don't ever have to really sell them again. You just talk to them. Another thing for your business, should you use your analytics to develop more questions and or content for surveys, customer feedback, future posts, and marketing campaigns? This is where you're using your analytics, right? These are where the things that analytics help with businesses. And I'm talking about these things because there's a lot of free training online, right? There's a lot that you can get. But if you don't understand what some of the foundational things that these people are talking about in this training, the training is really not going to help you. And everyone always talks about analytics. But unless you understand how to use these tools, it's like anything else. If you're using a hammer and you're using a hammer in a way that you should use a screwdriver, it's really not going to help you at all. You need to be able to understand exactly what your analytics are good for. And one thing the analytics are good for are helping you develop better questions to talk to your customer with, better ways to communicate with your customers, better ways to market your customers. So if you are a business owner, family, I want to hear you call in. I do. I want some feedback on that. I want to know exactly what it is you think that you should be doing with following the trends with your business. What works for you? What hasn't worked for you? Come on, family, call in and tell me. Push one, right? We're going to dial 917-889-7806 and push one. I'm going to have a special guest on this evening, a business girlfriend of mine and customer, and she's going to talk, she's going to elaborate on some of this that we're getting ready to talk about now, but we're going to talk about turning weaknesses into strengths. This is something I talk about with all of my customers, friends, clients. You know, when I teach business plan writing, right? And in business plan writing, we talk about strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. That's SWOT, right? And a lot of times, people get stumped in this point because they really don't know what their weaknesses are or they don't want to admit what they are. And then the strengths, believe it or not, that's where people are lost the most. That's where people don't know how to actually look at who they are and say, I'm good at this. And you wouldn't think that that would be the case, but it actually is. Okay, fear of failure is the root of power of most weaknesses. That's the root of the power, that fear of failure. We would probably try more things, which would lead to more growth, which could turn a failure into a success if we didn't have that fear of failure. Right? We can take a weakness and turn it into a strength if we get rid of the fear of failure. Depending on what direction you take, the level of trying something will determine the level of growth made. So, you know, if you're only going to take a little leap of faith and step outside of your comfort zone, then you're only going to get a little bit of growth. But if you're going to take a deeper leap and step outside of your comfort zone, then I think you might do better. Okay, we have my guest on. Caller, let's talk about turning weaknesses into strengths. Assalamu alaikum. Who am I speaking to this evening?
Hey, this is Siri from Siri to Siri. How are you?
I'm good. Good evening. Thank you for joining me at Deja's Cafe chit-chatting tonight. Girl, we're talking about turning weaknesses into strengths.
Yeah,
I was just talking about the fear of failure.
Yes, that is a serious topic. You know, fear will have you so paralyzed that you will not move forward at all, and it will have you thinking that and self-doubting yourself and what your purpose mm-hmm. is, what your passion is. So I was just thinking about something when you were talking. I was listening to you talk. And, you know, in the Quran, Allah tells us that when we persevere, he tells us to stay patient and persevere. And when we stay patient and persevere, that there's a great reward. And I always think about that when I am tackling a project or thinking about a new design or something new about business. And it's natural for us to be afraid of the unknown. And then I think about, okay, I've seen this happen, you know, before my eyes. Go ahead and push past your fear. Do what it is that you need to accomplish. And then the payout is so grand. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I've had people email me, call me out the blue, for personal, you know, custom dresses or whatever, and that's all from a post. I'll put a post on and say, hey, custom, custom, a great situation. I was home, and I was just like, okay, I need to make some fast cash. I got a bill I need to pay. What can I do? I'm not going to go out and work part-time. You know, what can I do? And, I mean, I was really afraid to make a post about alterations. And I put a post out, and I promise you I made $50 in one day from one post.
Wow. What was your fear of the post about the alteration?
You know, imposter syndrome. Oh, my God, what if they find out I'm not a good person, or what if I messed up? But,
see?
I mean, of course, it's the self-talk that has to come in, right, come into play, the positive self-talk. I know I'm tripping. I know I'm the best of the best. This is my superpower. I can sew up a shirt with my eyes closed. I got this. And just, you know, embracing the fact that you will make a mistake, and that's part of the growing process, and it's okay. And so once I got over that hump, I was like, okay, it's a wrap. I'm done. Yeah. I felt better.
Wow. So let me ask you, once you got past, once you did that thing that you were fearful of, did you ever have that fear of it again? So have you ever had to, like, re-walk in those shoes again? Never.
No.
Good. Okay.
No.
Good. So are you still getting rid of some fears? Are you still working on that? Are you still like, okay, I've reached my limit. I reached all my fear of failure limits. This is it. My bucket list is here. I'm not doing no more.
No, I think when you go to the next level, there's a whole new set of fears. There's a whole new set of fears. There's a fear of money. There's a fear of where am I going to get money? How am I going to do this? Okay, now you're on a bigger, you know, playing field. And so then there's more stress, more fear. But, you know, if you understand what the fear is, you know, what is it, have these conversations with yourself. What is it exactly are you afraid of? Are you afraid of money? Are you afraid of success?
Mm-hmm.
Are you afraid of, you know, maybe people saying, oh, she's not authentic, or whatever self-doubt story that we're conjuring in our mind, you know, we have to tackle that and embrace it. No one's ever perfect, you know. People will come off and make you feel like crap, and you just have to cut them out and keep it pushing. I mean, no one's perfect. No one knows everything. We're all learning, and we're going to go to this next level.
Definitely.
So we're going to learn new things. So embrace the fear. You know, it's okay, and just say, bismillah, and walk.
Did you hear that we did our self-reflection this evening with the mirror? You know, and I always tell people sometimes when we talk about their fears, get the mirror and look at yourself and see yourself. So like you were just talking about how, you know, we're afraid of what people are going to say about us and what they look at us and what they think of us. So my thing is look at the mirror and see what everyone else sees. Have you ever done that? Have you ever used that mirror as a way to empower yourself through it?
Yes. I, you know, for a long time, I would not look in the mirror. When I was, like, in my 20s or 30s, I would not look in the mirror.
Oh, my gosh.
And one day, I, you know, it's that self-doubt, that trauma. And one day, I finally did, and I started to cry. Like,
wow.
I saw what people saw, right? Because in our heads, we see ourselves in a different light. And negative light, right? And so I started to see what other people saw, and just like building myself up, telling myself I'm confident, I'm intelligent, I'm beautiful, and then embracing that. So, yeah, I mean, now it's like, you know, I can look in the mirror and get my eyelashes on, put my lipstick on, you know, feel the type of way. You know, now it's more comfortable, but back in the day, yeah, it was very uncomfortable.
Wow. Very uncomfortable. You've come a long way, Siri. Oh, my gracious.
Yeah, it's crazy, though.
Definitely. But tell me, you're a business owner. So you know, when all my business owner friends come on, we have to plug. Gotta do it. But when you first started, I want to make that transition to, and then tell me a little bit about your business. When you first started, what was your biggest fear? When you first started in business, what was the fear you had to get over?
Real talk. My biggest fear was that people were going to look at me and say, you're fake.
Wow.
Real talk.
And so
I
what
did
do you
nothing.
Do?
I cried and then I just kept doing it and told myself, okay, that's some BS because I just like, it's funny, like when I had those thoughts or felt like, you know, I felt down, Allah would send somebody my way. Oh, sister, I need a dress. Oh, sister, I need this. I'm like, oh, okay. I mean, so that was, and to have people, you know, talk about my quality, my sewing, the quality, you know, sisters, they still have dresses from like 7 years ago. I'm like, what? That's crazy.
Wow.
You know, so that helped me to become more secure and confident, not in me as a designer, as a sewer, but a person in business. Like, I felt like I didn't know anything, but I knew a lot. I just need to put the pieces together. So once I started, like, studying, you know, and reading up and blogging and all this stuff, I felt more confident in myself in business.
How many years were you in business before you felt that confidence, would you say?
At least the first year.
Oh, at so you got year. You got in there in the first year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, Siri, that's awesome. Because, you know, sometimes it doesn't happen that quickly. So would you say that your customers helped you overcome your fear as well?
My customers helped me overcome that fear. You know, I'm an observer. I sit and watch people, right? I sit and listen to people. Right? And so when people start talking and they don't make sense, I'm like, there's a hole in there somewhere. I don't know where it's getting sense. And so once I start, like, listening to people and listening, you know, I'm big on motivational videos and stuff like that. And that was part of my, and still is part of my process, my morning routine, wake up and listen to a motivational video. But listening to people and, like, on social media or whatever, everyone has their starting point, right? Everyone has
right.
their starting point. Everyone has their learning point. And as you go on, you become more confident and more knowledgeable in your process. So my process is going to be different from someone else's process. And so the confidence comes with understanding what your process is. And so I was comparing myself to other designers and other business owners that have been doing this like 20, 30 years. So when I first got on social media, especially like Instagram, I didn't follow any designers. I had a lot of people, follow this designer, follow this. I didn't follow any designers. I didn't follow any celebrities. It was mostly motivational. If I did follow someone, then still right now to this day, I don't follow a lot of designers. There's just not a lot of things out there that impress me. And so I'm just not like this bandwagon person, right? It took me a minute to like follow other designers that I felt were inspiring to me, only because I was comparing myself. Well, they're doing this. Why am I not doing this? I'm not at this level. Oh, I need to do this. And they've been doing this a lot longer than me. They had 10 years,
and not
you know,
only
plus.
That, your niche and who you're targeting may not be the same as theirs. You know, and I'm jumping in because I want your feedback on that because I talked about that earlier in the show, you know, about implementing those trends. Everybody's doing all these free videos and free trainings on how to grow business. And, you know, a lot of times it may not even fit, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Elaborate on that, like how
a
trend may not fit
minute.
What you're doing.
Right. No, it took me a minute. Like when I started, you know, I knew I wanted to design. You know, I've been doing it for years. This is my first time, you know, professionally, right? And when I jumped in, I was just like, everyone was having all the glitzy dresses and all this. And I'm like, okay, I know that's not me. I'm not an evening wear person. That's a whole different genre. So where is my niche? And after I did a fashion show in Washington, a lot of sisters came up to me and they were like, we love your dresses. We can wear them to work. And that's when
wow.
I knew
okay.
that was my niche, basics.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone is doing glitz. Mm-hmm. Everyone is doing the glamour, the luxe. You can go to the store and get that. But Muslim women, it's very rare and hard to find quality, good-looking clothes to wear in corporate
America.
Oh, no.
America. Yeah. It
right?
is. It is. You know, I joke all the time because I was spoiled. My mother was a seamstress growing up. So
mm-hmm.
I always wanted to store for clothes.
Mm-hmm.
So when I got to be, you know, a little older and
mm-hmm.
I had to go get a suit
mm-hmm.
for an interview,
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know how to, like, purchase it.
Right.
Because you're
right.
It wasn't. And, you know, and growing up Muslim, you know, you had to be more modest with
right.
everything that
and
you wore. So it was no such thing as a skirt to your knee.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's hard to be modest when the trend is a short skirt with a blazer, you know, or, you know, pencil pants. And I love a nice pencil skirt, but I'm like, really? Can I really wear that? Can I get away with that? You
right.
know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So, you know, that's a hard thing. So even now, I'm like, oh, maybe I should need to do something different. But I always come back to the base girl. I'm a blue jeans, T-shirt, flip-flops. I'm from Cali. I'm really laid back. Even
mm-hmm.
when I dress up, you know, I'm still like, can I wear a pair of nice pants and a nice blouse?
Right, right.
You know, and so I'm just kind of like, no, I'm sticking with my basics. That's my niche. That is my niche.
Okay. That's yep. awesome, Siri. So how many years have you been in business?
Going on 7 years. I can't even believe it.
7 years. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Right. Let me tell you, there's been times I've been up at 2 o'clock in the morning sewing and contemplating my life. Like, there's some BS. I'm about to go and get me a 9 to 5 because I ain't got time for this BS.
That was my next question. Okay, that fear that we all have had it as entrepreneurs, right? When you don't
right.
have a job, you know, where you left that full time and you're doing this thing full time, and it's like, okay. Did we clear enough to make sure that rent and the gas and electric are going to get paid this month, right?
Right.
So that's
right.
real talk and real fear that business owners go through. What makes you push even further to overcome that fear? Because every month is due. So every month that may be an issue. Obviously, as you become a better business person, you make more money, and that becomes less of a fear and less of a struggle. But how
mm-hmm.
did you get past that fear?
I honestly have not. It is a fear. It's always been a fear of me being homeless and raising, and especially when my kids were younger, my fear was being homeless with my children. And so I hustled. I did whatever it is, you know, I needed to do to keep the lights on, keep a roof over our head. Now, you know, my kids, I have two sets of kids. I have an adult kids, and then I have two little ones at home. But even now, it's still on the back burner of my head, but it's
right,
not a,
right.
it's not a frontal, it's not the frontal fear, right? And so
mm-hmm.
I've had to learn, before I even quit my job, I had to learn to budget better. Curb my spending, you know, and when I spend
mm-hmm.
it's high ticket, you know, items, I'm like, okay, I really don't need that, you know, and then my big thing is I like to eat out, so I really have to curb,
okay.
you know, those spending desires, and it's part of, I realized my spending habit was a cover-up of some type of trauma or issue that I'm going through. you know, it gives me a certain high, right? It gives me a temporary happiness. And so one day, and then I'm depressed the next week because I didn't spend the light bill money, right?
Can't do that now. Come on.
You understand? And then I'm like, okay, let me figure this out. But alhamdulillah, I mean, you know, I always figured it out, but it really made me think about my spending habits and what's really going on. And so it made me look within me, like, why do I think? I went to Goodwill one day and spent like $20 on jewelry, but I felt so happy, right? Because I got this, it's a high. I was able to get my high, right, and walk mm-hmm. away with some mm-hmm. awesome jewelry, but I didn't break the bank, right?
Well, at least you accepted it, and that's right. The one thing I noticed as being an entrepreneur and a business owner. I've really gotten in touch with who I really am,
right.
You know what I mean, because I really don't
right.
have to put a face on for anybody.
Right.
You know, have
right.
you noticed
exactly.
that? Have you,
yep.
have you really faced some things about who you are as a person? Has it made you a better person?
Yes, it's made me a better person. It's made me, I'm not going to say ethical because I'm always ethical. I have had situations where I was late, missed a deadline, and I refunded the full amount and gave up the product. I mean, I don't believe in, like, taking people's money. I try to be as upfront and transparent as possible. You know, customer is always right. That's always in my head.
It's old school customer
always
service.
Right. Yeah, it's old school customer service, but it still works. And, you know, people love honest people, and they'll shop with you, continue to support you when they know that you're an honest person. So I'm always going to try and do, you know, the right thing and own up to, you know, hold my responsibility. So, you know, being in business, it holds me to that moral concept. I can't lie. I can't do this. I can't, because I'm
mm-hmm.
like, no, that's my name. If it gets out
right.
online or something and I get caught, and then people are like, oh, see, I told you. She just like one of them other ones. No, this is my brand. And my brand will not be known for lying, cheating, and stealing. No, ma'am. No, ma'am.
So you're a seamstress, but you have another business as well, don't you?
Right. So I have, you know, it's all about multiple streams of income. So I have Theory to Theory. That's my Modest Mind clothing wear. I have FMC Tax Prep, and it's tax season now. I have Muslim Boss Network, and I started that right after I started Theory to Theory. I felt so alone on this process. I knew a lot of non-Muslim women that were in business, but I did not know a lot of Muslim women that were, like, starting this journey. And so I really wanted to connect. I was on, like, some social media platform I used to listen to, Periscope or something, and I thought, man, wouldn't it be great to, like, connect with local Muslim sisters, you know, just to talk about business and maybe support each other, who's doing what. And I kicked around the idea with a few of my friends, and one friend in particular, we were up 2 o'clock in the morning coming up with this concept, and Muslim Boss Network was born. I had my first networking event. I think like maybe 40, 50 sisters showed up, and it was for sisters that were in business and sisters that wanted to start a business but just maybe needed some motivation, didn't know how. And so many sisters left that event connected in business. Like, that was the whole purpose,
wow.
you know, to support
right.
each other. And then to, you know, if someone was interested in business, they had all these women that had business. Let me talk to you, and how do I get started or whatever, and can you be my mentor? I had like 2 or 3 sets of sisters that were made that type of connection. I was so, so excited. So.
So do I have to be in your local area in order to participate?
Yes, I prefer, but, you know, it's growing very quickly. I have a chapter in Tanzania. I had a sister hit me up, and we had a conversation, and we vibed, and our goals were in alignment. And so I was like, okay, I think I can work with you. And so, yeah, I have a chapter in Tanzania, and so I haven't, like, really thought of doing anything, you know, nationally, but I definitely want to collab with other organizations, you know, because for me, I'm specifically targeting women of color.
Okay.
You know, there's nothing against my Pakistani sisters, nothing against my Arab sisters, you know, but when I see a sister speaking about business, and she doesn't look like me, subconsciously that's doing something to me, right? And so
if
a black or brown sister sees a black or brown sister on stage, you know, speaking about Islam or business or whatever, subconsciously I'm like, well, she can do it. I can do it, right?
I can do it too.
I can do that too.
So
she
where
can
do
we it.
Find you, Siri? Where do I find you? How do I get to?
Yeah, I'm mainly on Instagram. You can follow me, Muslim Boss Network. I am working feverishly on my landing page. If anyone's interested in signing up, they can always email me at MuslimBossNetwork@gmail.com. But, yeah, I'm in the lab working behind the scenes getting this together.
Awesome. We need more of you, Siri. So keep making those clothes, please.
Yes,
definitely.
Definitely.
And definitely keep building the Muslima Boss Network and business. We need that. Like you said, it always feels good to talk to someone who looks like you, who understands that struggle firsthand.
Exactly. I agree.
Well, Siri, thank you so much for calling in.
You're welcome. I enjoyed the show. Everyone have a good night.
Thank you. You do the same. Take care.
Okay. Like a song.
So you see, family, business owners, all walks of life, right? Everyone goes through different struggles. Everyone has different fears. This is the reason why we did the self-reflection tonight, family. I want everyone to look in the mirror and find out exactly who it is that other people see them as. You know, we talked about image and we talked about popularity, but we talked about being humble. And let's remember that. Let's remember that that image that we present to people, that image of humility, that image of strength, that image of perseverance and determination, it's an image that, you know, it should be an internal image that we're working on and we're building on and we're getting better at, but it should also be an image that it's what people remember us by. So let's think about that, right? The words that we use, how we describe things. The one thing we'll remember about Siri after our conversation tonight is that she makes clothes, right? And she had fears of not being as good as those who had been doing this so many more years than she did. So let's understand and remember, family, that the image should be, who are we? How are we going to make an impact on the world, right? We're not going to make trendy moves, but we're going to be the one whose trends move people. Let's start doing some things that make some positive changes. As Siri is doing with Muslim women, she's making sure that they have somewhere to go so they don't feel lonely in growing business. Anybody that's listening that's a business owner, you know firsthand like I do, it can be a lonely place as an entrepreneur. It can be. And having networks and business groups to connect with is very important. We have Deepest Cafe. This is not just a radio show. We also have Deepest Cafe, the membership. And I meet with them actually after I hang out with you guys here. I'll be meeting from 8 to 9 with them every Thursday. So, you know, find your business network. Find your tribe. Find your group that you're going to leave that legacy with. Build and make something that others are inspired by. That's the whole purpose, right? Why go into business if you're not going to make a positive change in the world? So let's go ahead, family, and we're going to have to wrap up tonight, but I had a time tonight talking to Siri. Family, I hope that some self-reflection was good for everyone. And I want to leave you with this thought. Minding manners may develop a meaningful relationship. Remember what your parents used to tell you about minding your manners. Well, minding manners may actually develop a meaningful relationship. Family, take care. Be safe. Keep those masks on. We're doing better in numbers in this pandemic, but we're not out of the woods yet, family. So I want us all to stay safe. It's getting warm. Let's still kind of keep our distance a little bit, keep our mask on, and let's get stronger. Once we get stronger, then we can start really spending some time with each other. I don't know about you guys, but I'm looking for some 4th of July cookout. Have a wonderful month, guys, and I will see you next week, next month, family. Thank you for joining me at Deidre's Cafe.